WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Police, along with the FBI, responding to an active shooter at a Florida State University in Tallahassee campus. Multiple sources tell ABC News preliminary information is that at least four people have been injured and say a suspect is in custody, but are still searching for possible additional shooters. The campus issuing an emergency alert telling people to shelter in place. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
They are undoubtedly going from building to building, checking on different people, different students, seeing if the shooter ran, where he or she may have gone. So there's still investigative work to do in addition to recovering whatever shell casings there may be on the ground. And so they want to keep the foot traffic down.
One student who's outside the shelter zone place says she feels for everyone.
I just hope everyone's okay, and I hope that, like, we can just do better precautions so this doesn't happen again.
This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A bill from Republican lawmakers makes significant changes to Wisconsin's unemployment insurance law. UI would be referred to as reemployment assistance. Waukesha Representative Scott Allen says it gives job seekers an extra push, calling it a compassionate bill designed to help people when they are at perhaps their lowest. Milwaukee Representative Ryan Clancy questions the need for changes, noting there's no data to suggest that the current UI program has a problem that needs fixing. The bill mandates creation of a Division of Reemployment Assistance within the Department of Workforce Development and adds requirements for those seeking employment. It passed on a 4-2 committee vote Tuesday. The Assembly Committee on Public Benefit Reform also passed a bill to prohibit local governments from using tax money for guaranteed income programs. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is asking for $30 million in the next state budget to cover costs for crime victim services. At a Wausau roundtable Tuesday, the AG said federal funding has decreased dramatically. The Democratic AG said for a five-year period, $44 million roughly went to victim service providers. In the current federal fiscal year, which started October 1st, that number has dropped to $13 million, a reduction of over $30 million, or about 70%. A fund established by the Federal Victims of Crimes Act distributes money from fines and fees paid out by people convicted of federal charges. The state has used American Recovery Act and pandemic relief money to supplement that, but those funds are now tapped out. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers dismiss Detroit. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-1 victory over the Detroit Tigers. Home runs by Reese Hoskins and Christian Yelich. Pitcher Jose Quintana on getting his second win of the season.
Feels great. You know, every single day means a lot, you know, and about your preparation, how you want to be ready for games.
The crew has the day off before opening a 3-game series at home against the A's tomorrow night. NBA, the Bucks holding a final practice session before heading to Indianapolis tomorrow for Saturday's playoff game at noon. Center Brooke Lopez on facing the Pacers again in the postseason.
We know who they are, what they're capable of, what their identity is. We've been working these last few days on being ultra vigilant about transition, you know, transition, the way they move the ball around the floor in the half court, how unselfish they are, just being ready to go from the jump defensively.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and breezy today, with high temperatures reaching the low 60s and scattered showers rolling in late this afternoon. As they continue through this evening, chances of thunderstorms are also possible, bringing the risk of hail. We're expected to pick up around a half an inch of rainfall. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. And then all the way from WGBW, Amanda Nimmer joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program, Thursday, April 17th, 2025. Glad to have you along. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Overcast skies right now. Maybe some rough weather in parts of Wisconsin overnight. Large hail, some winds possible tonight into early tomorrow morning. So keep it tuned here to Civic Media. We'll update you as that goes along. Then a nicer day, I think, maybe on Saturday. Sunday, for Easter Sunday, looks a bit like a partial washout in parts. So get your Easter egging in early. And the price of eggs, I mean, my goodness. The
we'll
bunny.
Just use the plastic ones.
Right, exactly.
Can't eat those, though, or die.
Yeah, I know. Are you a big, Zommers, you a big deviled egg person?
Oh, deviled eggs are delicious. Yeah. Actually, that reminds me, I didn't even think about that. I'm going to my grandma's for Easter, and I forgot that she always makes deviled eggs. And now you've reminded me, I have something else to look forward to, aside right? from, of course, seeing my grandmother.
Oh, sure, absolutely. But no, I enjoy a good deviled egg over the Easter holiday.
They're delicious.
Looking forward to that. Last night, went down to Milwaukee and saw my friend and old broadcast partner, Kevin O'Connor. Great to see him. We went to the 5 o'clock steakhouse in Milwaukee. You haven't seen each other for 20 years or partner. You got to have a steak and a glass of wine to celebrate.
Well, you might as well.
And I think we almost closed the place down. It was about a 3-hour dinner or so.
That's what I would expect from what I heard when you first talked to each other. Like, but there's a lot to talk about.
There was. It was really, really fantastic. And I think my takeaway from the evening was this. Don't allow life to get in the way of spending time with people you care about and enjoy. Because that's basically what happened. There was nothing. We didn't defend each other. Nothing was wrong. It's just that, I mean, you know, Kevin actually has a life. And he has a wife and kids, as it turns out. And he's doing great. And he, of course, works for University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, doing all their branding and stuff like that. And so I've been schlepping around up here doing my little thing and things, you know. But then when you take the time to sit down and you really know, you know who your true friends are or the people you care about, because you can let years go by sometimes and you sit down at dinner and it was like it was yesterday. And you can just talk and freely. And yeah, that's my takeaway. Here's Todd's advice for the day. If there's a friend or somebody that you care about and you haven't picked up the phone or made a way to reconnect, do that. Because life's too short not to. And many thanks for another great friend of mine, Carrie Pink, for making that happen. Because it hadn't been for her setting up that great show we had down at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and telling Kevin to be on the show or asking him. Who knows how much longer it would have gone. So Kevin may join us soon here on the show. And that will be fantastic.
I hope so.
Looking forward to that. Coming up this hour, I'm going to talk about the immigration issue of disappearing people and throwing him out of the country has come closer to home. Story today in the Daily Cardinal here at UW-Madison. Federal judge temporarily blocks Trump administration from canceling visa, deporting international UW-Madison student. Going to talk about that a little bit. And also the federal budget Congress on a recess, Easter recess. But when they get back, lots to talk about. We'll talk about all of that coming up this hour and take your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. But right now, time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. This or that,
this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that.
Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but it is your chance to have your voice heard on all of our civic media radio stations across the state of Wisconsin. News, sports, talk. No better way to get your voice heard, your product, your business, than advertising on civic media. Go to civicmedia.us. That's civic media us. No, civicmedia.us.
And soon it'll be on even more stations.
Really? I didn't realize that. Really? Are you serious?
Yeah. Where that is public information.
Where are we expanding to?
Let me take a look to pull up the press release.
I honestly did not know this. I did not know we were going on more stations. That's great news.
Yes, I don't know exactly which ones are going to be music and which ones are going to be talk, but I do know that we are acquiring new stations in Ripon and Wautoma.
Well, that's great. We did a show at Ripon earlier this year at the Kamala Harris rally up there with Liz Cheney. A great, great town. Ripon good cookies is a big thing up there, you know, for years. Well, that's great. Ripon's a great town. So see more stations for you to advertise on here at the Civic Media Radio Network. All right. Timely indeed, as Mike Lucas likes to say, because with everything going on in the world, sometimes we feel bad for people. We pity them. And then other times we're like, who cares? Or as my friend Jonathan likes to say, I care, but not enough to do anything about it. I want to make that a segment. I care, but not enough to do anything about it. I'm working on that. All right, today's category, what's worse, pity or ambivalence? Pity or ambivalence? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app if you don't have it. Download it today on your Apple or Android device. Just go to your search bar on your app store or at your app store. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up, cute little CM logo. Click on that. It'll download. Takes less than a minute. It is free, gratis, cero, won't cost you a dime. It's what CBS's Gayle King, and now astronaut Gayle King, calls a deal. Get it today, the Civic Media app. What's worse, pity or ambivalence? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Go out to the old hometown, the Driftless Richland Center on WRCE. Whistler in Richland Center. Whistler, pity or ambivalence? What's worse?
Ambivalence, of course. I mean, I don't understand. People should just have this sense of what's right, what's wrong. And if something's going wrong, you have to think about it. And if you don't think about it and talk about it, then, you know, that's what ambivalence is. Mm-hmm. You know, where pity is, oh, gee, that's too bad that happened. Oh, well. You know?
Right.
I'm not really sure, Todd, but, you know, that's kind of the way I look at it.
All right. I appreciate that. Very, very good, Whistler. I appreciate that. Thank you very much for listening out there on WRCE. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, pity or ambivalence? Our ongoing contributor and friend watching on Facebook, Jeff Perry. What's worse, he says, I feel sorry for you, Todd, because I just don't care.
I knew Jeff was going to say something like that.
That's fantastic.
And I looked forward to it.
Yeah, well, as we always do. And I think pity, I mean, if you feel sorry for somebody, right? Ambivalence, as it's defined, is the state of having mixed feelings or contradictory ideas about something or someone. So if you're just ambivalent, you're like, ah, you know, I know. I really don't care. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Mary in Mount Horeb, listening on WMDX, says, if I'm ambivalent, you mean not caring? Definitely ambivalence, as that is something that has got us into where we are today politically. Well, that's a good point. Well said, Mary, out in Mount Horeb. Yeah, sometimes if we don't care about our friends and neighbors, leads us down a not-so-great path. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Karina, listening on WAUK in Milwaukee. Karina, pity or ambivalence? What's worse?
The O word, because I can't pronounce that.
And ambivalence,
yeah. I tried to pronounce it before. I can't pronounce it. It's an O word. And I think it's because it's like almost bipolar. Come on, make your mind. It's very confusing. It's a mixed signals. Either you do it or you're not.
Right.
You know, pity, it's okay. I mean, everybody allowed to feel sorry for someone, maybe too much sorry, or maybe whatever degree of sorry you might feel. But it's a passive aggressive. It's all half-ass done. No, absolutely not.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Karina. Thanks for calling in. I dug deeper because, you know, I enjoy words, and sometimes we use words incorrectly. So here it says, being ambivalent doesn't mean that you don't care. It means you have contradictory or mixed feelings about it. You do care, but you're torn. Kind of like I said before, I care, but not enough to do anything about it. That's ambivalence. I care, but not enough to do anything about it. 855-752-4842. Tom in beautiful Madison here in the 608, listening on WMDX. Tom, pity or ambivalence? What's worse?
Well, I think today I'm thinking about ambivalence more than anything else. I was, you know, your guest was talking about, you know, her constituents being worried about the price of eggs and, you know, the economy. And I get that because I don't make a whole lot of money. But on the other hand, we've got a twice impeached felon who's talking openly about sending U.S. citizens to a prison camp in South America. One might think that would be a little bit of an issue that people would care about.
Yeah, right. I think that's a good practical example. That's a good practical example, Tom, when people are like, ah, who cares if we don't follow the Constitution? We'll just send people out of the country without due process. That's ambivalence, right? Appreciate the call, Tom. Thank you so very much. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, pity or ambivalence? Tony, watching on the YouTube, says ambivalence is way worse. With pity, they at least care a bit, and you can turn it around and make things better. Well, that's a good point, Tony. Like, oh, I feel so bad for him. My grandma Alba used to say, well, for pity's sake, just for pity's sake. But, oh, I feel so bad for him.
I will say, well, on the other side, I'll provide an argument, not necessarily that I agree with, but that I've heard for why pity is worse.
All right. Why is that?
On the other side. There's not enough time for me to explain it. Yeah.
All right. Got it. Well, come on back. We're going to talk, wrap up what's worse for today, and also talk about a University of Wisconsin Madison student who is targeted by the Trump administration getting set to graduate and want to pull a visa. It is not great. Back after this, the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
News from the Center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA get going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tidal Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour, 1 o'clock. Zommer's on the board. It is Thursday, April 17th. Our What's Worse segment today, asking the question of the day, pity or ambivalence? Pity or ambivalence? Pity, of course, you just kind of feel sorry for someone, right? But ambivalence is defined, doesn't mean that you don't care. It just means you have contradictory or mixed feelings about it.
Right. Caring at all would be indifferent or apathetic.
Sure. So you do care, but you're torn. So I care, but not enough to do anything about it. I love that phrase. I don't know why. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device. It's a great little app. You can listen to all of our stations, talk, news, sports, music, all across the state of Wisconsin. Dana in La Crosse listening in says, Sebastian Gorka is trying to create ambivalence around the immigration issue. He says anyone who sides with these quote-unquote illegal terrorists could be considered as quote-unquote aiding and abetting under the Alien Enemies Act, and then therefore Americans could get disappeared. This is very dangerous talk. Yeah, it is, Dana. We're going to get into that in just a little bit here on the show on a more serious note. But Zommers, you want to weigh in on what's pity or ambivalence, Zommers?
Yeah, I guess this is a little bit more pity versus apathy. And I get that apathy and ambivalence are not exactly the same thing. But anyway.
It's a bit. Go ahead.
I know. But I've known.
It's not Merriam-Webster's convention here.
I've known a lot of people who would rather have almost any emotion felt towards them except for pity.
Really?
People who, for example, I know somebody who is disabled, who anytime somebody looks at them and talks like them with pity, it's like, well, you think I'm less than, and I don't need that. Just let me be myself, get out of my way kind of thing.
No, I think that's that's a great example of, right, I mean, you don't want to be pitied normally. People want to be looked at as equal to, or I might be different, but don't pity, right?
Overall, though, I think ambivalence, personally, I think it's worse because of all the reasons people have said. It just creates inaction. It leads to where we are today politically.
Pity or ambivalence? What's worse? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the Civic Media app. And off the app, Jack in Merrimack, listening via WAUK, says ambivalence is by far the worst. It leads to the, well, it's not going to happen to me, so why should I care attitude. It's ambivalence that's gotten us into the current governmental situation. Signed, Jack from Merrimack. Great point, Jack, as always. I think there seems to be a theme here today that when we're ambivalent and we don't care, or we care but not enough to do anything about it, that's when bad things happen.
It fits very well with our first hour, where we had two guests who are not ambivalent and right. are all about listening to people and doing what's best for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Continue to call in or text in on today's What's Worse, again, pity or ambivalence.
What about you?
What's worse? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I don't know. I want to answer, but I'm not sure I really do. I'm just kidding. No, I would say I agree. Ambivalence is worse because of the reasons that you and other people stated. It leads to inaction a lot of times. And I think it's easy to pass people on the street. It's easy to pass, figuratively pass things politically and say, well, it doesn't affect me, so I don't care. Or I don't care enough to do anything about it. And it doesn't mean we'll all have to go out and march in the streets or anything like that. Although there's a peaceful demonstration, I'm fine with. But vote, number one, right? That I've said this 100 times on the show. I just don't have any respect for people who don't vote. I just, especially people who don't vote and then want to gripe about the outcome. I've talked to people like that. Well, who'd you vote for? Well, I didn't vote. I just don't believe in the system. Well, then let's just end the discussion right here. You have to vote. You have to participate, in my opinion, to have an opinion on an election or outcome. So don't be ambivalent to the point where you're just like, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to vote for anybody. No, vote in every election. Again, I was legal age to vote 18. I don't know. I haven't kept track. I would say I've missed less than 10 elections, including like primaries and everything else, because I had forgotten once or twice or was out of town and didn't vote ahead of time. But I really think it's important. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to the phone line. Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, pity or ambivalence? What's worse?
Well, I think it's probably ambivalence, but I certainly have no pity for Donald Trump, who seems to be more and more tonsorially challenged every day, because I've seen some of the pictures, and he's pretty bald up top, and he should either get a better rug or just shave it off and quit fooling us with it, because it just looks now, just sad.
This is very interesting, Mark. This is very interesting, because talking to Mom a couple nights ago, she said, you know, his bald spot is getting a lot worse. And what I've heard is he basically has the implants or whatever, and then he lets it grow really long, and he has the big swirl or whatever to cover it up. The comb.
Well, it just looks ridiculous. I mean, because right. his hair colors, like his skin color, varies day by day, and it just is. It's just sad.
Right. No, it is sad, thanks, bad, brother. Not glad. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you. Pity or ambivalence? What's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Tony on YouTube says, continue to call in or don't. I don't have strong feelings either way. The jokester, Tony, today. A little serious breaking news for you. One on the sports scene, one on the news. This from channel3000.com. Damian Lillard cleared for full basketball activity. How about that? His deep vein thrombosis has been resolved. So,
excellent.
So Dame is cleared to play for the Bucks as the playoffs approach. That's good news for the Milwaukee Bucks. And from CBS News, breaking news at this hour, the United States Supreme Court will weigh in on President Trump's effort to partially enforce his birthright citizenship order. So here you go. We talked about this before. Donald Trump going to the Supreme Court to take away the 14th Amendment right that if you're born in this country, you're an American citizen. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how is the play? Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A proposed bill in the Wisconsin State Assembly would add more regulations for energy projects across the state. The 2025 Wisconsin Energy Reform Act seeks to discourage energy companies from using good farmland for renewable energy projects and outlines the specific rights of affected landowners. Under the legislation, energy companies would be required to provide written notice of their plans to each property owner within 1 mile of a proposed facility at least 45 days before seeking approvals from the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin. There is a prosecutor shortage in Wisconsin's third biggest county. Waukesha County District Attorney Leslie Basie says grant money from the state budget covering 2.5 prosecutors in her office will run out in July. Funding previously ran out in December for 2 other positions. Those cuts will bring the number of prosecutors in Waukesha County down to 16 prosecutors. The state recommends that the county have 24 more, but Basie says the budget will only allow her 1 part-time hire. Prosecutors are funded at the state level and not through county funds. A shocking twist in the case of a Waukesha teen accused of killing his mother and stepfather. An unsealed federal warrant claims 17-year-old Nikita Kasep killed Tatiana Kasep and Donald Mayer as part of a plot to assassinate President Donald Trump. Investigators discovered contact at Kasep's cell phone with what the FBI calls a satanic cult named the Order of 9 Angels with a goal to incite chaos and violence. The warrant also alleges that Kasep killed his mother and stepfather in February to obtain the financial means to purchase a drone and explosives for an attack on Trump. Kasep currently faces 9 felony charges, including 2 counts of first-degree murder. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's become an albatross for me. I just wish it was gone. Those are the words of Home Alone 2 Lost in New York director Chris Columbus. He is referring to the 7-second cameo by Donald Trump in the film. Columbus wants the Trump cameo removed from the film, saying it's become a curse and adding that the 47th president bullied his way into the movie, telling the production they couldn't shoot at the Plaza Hotel unless he was in the film. Columbus joked that if he cuts the cameo, he could be deemed not fit to live in America and deported. I think he was joking. Here's a quick pick. The show Mobland on Paramount Plus is pretty good. The Guy Ritchie directed show stars Pierce Brosnan, Helen Mirren, and Thomas Hardy. It's a fast-moving mob caper that doesn't hold back on gang violence. It is shot with Ritchie's classic pacing, so even if there is a moment you get bored with, it's quickly over. I'm 3 episodes in, and we'll keep you posted. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and breezy today, with high temperatures reaching the low 60s and scattered showers rolling in late this afternoon. As they continue through this evening, chances of thunderstorms are also possible, bringing the risk of hail. We're expected to pick up around 0.5 inch of rainfall. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 58.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Earl Ingram.
Tomorrow on the Earl Ingram Show, I'm thrilled to have my friend and co-host Sandy Williams back with me. Sandy and I will engage in a deep conversation about the most significant issues of the week.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Welcome back to the Tom Wall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on a busy Thursday, April 17th, 2025. Summer's on the board. Lots to get to this hour. A couple of breaking news stories, both from Florida on the active shooter there at Florida State University. There is a suspect in custody, according to reports there. Also breaking news at the Supreme Court on the 14th Amendment. And there's a U.S. budget we're going to talk about, try to fit all that in this half hour. But first of all, going to wrap up our what's worse for today, pity or ambivalence. Dick on the phone line, Dick in Madison, 855-752-4842. Dick, thanks for calling in. Let's wrap it up. Pity or ambivalence, what's worse?
I'm with ambivalence, and I could not agree with Mark more about that ridiculous bicentennial eagle's nest on his head. That is just absolutely ridiculous looking. And the bald spot, I think, is caused by he hit his head on a cabinet.
Right.
From like Scott Walker.
Thank you, Governor Walker. Yeah. See, I just I embrace my lack of hair. I'm aging. That's it. That's all I can tell you.
He just can't realize how ridiculous he looks.
Right.
And can you imagine the amount of toxic stuff on that?
No, I cannot.
To keep it in place.
No.
I mean, when he goes out on a day like today, for instance, when it's windy, the big swoop would be all the way down to his,
right.
to his waist.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Dick. Have a great day in Madison on WMDX. 36 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Want to catch up on a couple of breaking news stories here at this hour. Turn a page on from CBS News at this hour. Headline, active shooter reported on Florida State University campus. A suspect is in custody, now saying multiple people are hospitalized. Several people are hospitalized with injuries after that active shooter was reported at the Florida State University campus earlier this afternoon. CBS News Miami reports a suspect is in custody after being shot in an exchange of gunfire with police. Police responded to the active shooter call from the area of the student union at 12:01 p.m. Eastern Time. Florida State University said the school sent an alert warning to those on campus, urging them to seek in shelter or shelter in place, rather, and await further instructions. The university also cautioned students to lock and stay away from all doors and windows. Six people are being treated at this hour, according to the latest reports in Tallahassee hospitals. More to come soon. There may be others. One hospital said at least one person is in critical condition and others are in serious condition. So far we know that six people were injured thus far. There may be more. We'll continue to follow this here on Civic Media and CBS News and ABC at the top and bottom of the hour as well. Again, there is a person in custody after a shooting at Florida State University in Tallahassee today. Our thoughts are with all of them down there in Florida. And also, at this hour, according to CBS News, this is something we've been following for a while, the United States Supreme Court has just said that it will hear oral arguments next month on whether the Trump administration can partially enforce an executive order that seeks to end birthright citizenship while proceedings in a challenge to the directive move forward. The court said in an unsigned order that arguments on the Justice Department's request for emergency relief will take place during the special sitting on May 15th. The administration has asked the Supreme Court to limit the scope of three separate injunctions that blocked implementation of President Trump's order nationwide. So to put that in normal terms, what's happening here is the Trump administration asking the U.S. Supreme Court to do away with breaks that were put on by lower courts in implementing Trump's order nationwide. And this has to do with the 14th Amendment, which basically says if you are a person that is born on U.S. soil, you're automatically a citizen of the United States. Been that way a long time. And now the Trump administration wants to do away with that. Back to the story. If the high court decides to grant the U.S. Justice Department's request, it would prevent the Trump administration from enforcing Mr. Trump's birthright citizenship order only against the plaintiffs in the ongoing cases, which are seven individuals, specific members of immigrants' rights groups, and residents in 22 states. Again, there's a lot of nuance to this, and we'll continue to follow this and break it down for you. But essentially, this is another step of Donald Trump and the Trump administration going to the U.S. Supreme Court and pushing this, not wanting it to play out in the normal order of business in the courts, and basically trying to call in his chits with, in particular, the three conservative justices that Trump appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court, saying, hey, we don't have time for this monkeying around. Just tell us and right now that we can do this. And wanting to go over and therefore set a precedent to go after certain individuals that were born here in the United States, and therefore whether their parents are citizens or not, they're American citizens, full bird American citizens. But the Trump administration wanting to little by little nick that and eventually unravel and do away with birthright citizenship. The dispute, back to the story on CBS, the dispute over the president's attempt to unwind birthright citizenship is the latest in which the Supreme Court has been asked to intervene, with more requests expected. Get this, more than 100 cases that seek to knock down Mr. Trump's second-term policies have been filed since he returned to the White House just since January. And several have already made their way to the high court. The president's executive order of birthright citizenship was one of the first that he signed on his first day back in office, and is among several directives that seek to target migrants who are in the U.S. unlawfully. Well, that's why you have to be careful of that wording there. Because under the Constitution, if you're born here, you're a U.S. citizen. We'll continue to follow that. Closer to home, but still on the same subject, this from the Daily Cardinal. Great publication from today. Great reporter Gavin Escott from the Daily Cardinal at UW-Madison. A federal judge has blocked President Donald Trump's administration from taking an action against an international student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison whose visa was terminated, preventing the U.S. government from deporting him or taking any legal action for at least 2 weeks. Want to make this clear. This individual is in the United States legally, fair and square. In a 12-page ruling, according to the Cardinal, on Tuesday, Judge William Conley issued a temporary restraining order against the Department of Homeland Security, better known as DHS, preventing them from terminating. I'm not going to name the person's name because even though it's in this story, I'm just not going to name the name. It's an international student who has a visa and imposing consequences, including deportation, until a preliminary hearing on April 28th. This 21-year-old UW-Madison undergraduate student from India is expecting to graduate in May, less than a month away, and was informed that his visa was terminated on April 4th. Judge Conley contended the lack of due process time to contest the termination was sufficient by itself to establish irreparable harm. Judge Conley writes, quote, given the amount of time of the student's educational expenses and potential losses from having to leave the United States without obtaining his degree, the court concludes that the student credibly demonstrated that he faces irreparable harm for which he has no adequate remedy at the law in the absence of the injunctive relief, Conley wrote. This student is among 27 current and former UW-Madison students and at least 40 across the EW system here in Wisconsin who have had their visas terminated in the past month. As of today, more than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked or legal status changed across the U.S. And some students have been detained and deported by Immigration Customs Enforcement, better known as ICE. UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin said during a faculty senate meeting on April 8th, the university only learned about the terminations after the fact. This is the country we're in, folks. You hear all the time, right? Particularly from the right. Do it the right way. Stand in line. Don't cheat. That's what the right likes to say. And look, I'm all for the legal process. 100%. Here's people that did that. Here's people that did it the right way. That are here 100% legally. That have all the documentation. Many of these foreign students, by the way, are paying their own way. Less than a month from graduation, paid thousands of dollars to get a UW degree. And now Trump's ICE and DHS wants to whisk these people away, cancels their visas for no apparent reason, no reasons given. Not criminals, not been arrested. Not threatening anybody, no crimes. You wonder, I mean, what? And again, you look at we've seen the ICE checklist to determine in Trump's world whether you're part of a gang. And part of that is, do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Are you roommates with somebody like this? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Eau Claire, Gene on WCFW, the TAP. Gene, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, thank you. Great show to you guys, and thank you for keeping everybody updated on what's going on in our country. You know, this is sick, vile, and demented behaviors by these people. And, you know, Americans are judged by their leaders. And I hope people don't support this, and they call their representatives and say, this is not acceptable by us in this country. I mean, this is the grossest thing I've ever seen. Those poor kids come here because they trust America. They want to be educated in America. They care about America. And then we got a guy up there who's I'm sorry, but he's a criminal. He was found criminally, you know, liable. And here he is just going like a fruitcake, psychotic after people and after immigrants. This is ludicrous, guys. I mean... I don't know how people sleep at night. This is a horrifying thing to watch happening in our country. Thank you, guys, and you have a good weekend, and thank you for the work you do.
Hey,
bye.
Thanks, Gene. Appreciate your listenership. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I've talked about it on this show before, but it's worth mentioning again. I'm actually talking to Kevin last night at dinner. He agreed that the most valuable part of our college experience in the UW system wasn't what we learned in the classroom. It was the exposure to people who are different than us and learning and listening and growing as an individual. The constant winnowing and sifting of ideas whereby the truth alone may be found. For now, it's still in bronze on Bascom Hill. Back after this is the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
An
elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
It's more than a place to shop. Schrader's Department Store is a 134-year-old cornerstone in the Manitowoc County community of Two Rivers. It's also the oldest, and not just in the state, but the country, still operated by the same family.
I am fourth generation. We've made the store just our own special spot now.
AJ Schrader runs the store with her sister, and like every generation, grew up working there.
My sisters and I were all raised in the department store from little on. I would wait on customers when I was 12. It's just a part of who we are. Our customers are what open the doors every day.
So it's a mix of new and old, including services like tailoring.
It's just a great place to be.
It really is a slice of Wisconsin you won't find anywhere else. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC and CBS News updating you on the top story nationally of the afternoon, a shooting on the Florida State University, FSU, campus in Tallahassee. Multiple people are hospitalized, at least one critical. It's a developing story. CBS and ABC will continue to cover that for you throughout the afternoon. Also, weather updates with our own Brittany Merlot and others as we watch potentially some severe weather coming into parts of Wisconsin tonight into early tomorrow morning. Heavy winds, strong winds, I should say, and large hail are part of the possibility, keyword possibility, in some of these storms. Rain, much needed rain, so we'll take the rain, but not so much the wind and the hail. Brittany will continue to update us on that. And then Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter, with what's going on in Milwaukee Brewers world, and also as we approach the draft. It looks like, as Albers, it appears we'll be, or at least I'll be, in Green Bay next week. So that'll be fun on
excellent.
Friday.
Yeah.
On Friday
I'm excited
for the draft.
To see how it looks and hear how it goes.
Yeah, very. And Doug Moe, great author Doug Moe, is going to be in tomorrow talking about a new book he has.
Excellent.
So looking to forward to a chat tomorrow with Doug Moe. Then after the news, weather, and sports, stay tuned for Maggie Dawn, another great Maggie Dawn show coming up after the top of the hour. Pete Schwabe tonight from 6 until 8. Right now, finishing up a little chat, great article in the Daily Cardinal by Gavin Escott. Federal judge here in Madison temporarily blocking the Trump administration from canceling a visa of an international student at UW-Madison who is set to graduate in less than a month. And the Trump administration does not give any rationale, simply wants to throw them out of the country. Judge Conley here in Madison saying, not so fast. 855-752-4842. Let's go out to San Francisco. David in San Fran listening on the app. We appreciate it, David. What say you?
Oh, thanks, Todd. Yeah, I was just going to, I guess the first catchphrase I'd use is white trash can be billionaires. Well, billionaires can be white trash too. Mm-hmm. But in the bigger picture, if you look back, I've got a whole bunch of different history books about whether it's the Inquisition or even older than that. There were eras where I guess you'd say
the Dark Ages, where they intentionally were trying to crush intellectuals. They were intentionally trying to create such they wanted to create a spoils economy, keep everybody starving so that they would be fighting among each other for a bean. And so I was just going to urge people to put together a local currency. Both Ralph Nader and the old historian Howard Zinn have long talked about local currencies to get you through times when the money is going to be impossible. And if you look at, for example, Germany between World War One and World War Two, they had the hyperinflation, where the only way that they that Hitler was able to get everybody to salute in unison was to screw with the money. To have the inflation go so high that you only the ass kissers would get cost of living. And if you were a rebel, if you were a person that just politically played neutral, you would maybe get monthly cost of living. But this was the wheelbarrows full of money to get a loaf of bread.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, David. Thanks for calling. Some people talk about Bitcoin and stuff like that. Not my cup of tea, but yeah, I mean, certainly interesting historical data there. Want to get to this quickly? We'll suss it out a little bit more tomorrow. This is from Lisa Desjardins, PBS NewsHour correspondent, and this is why. Trump administration trying to get rid of all the funding, by the way, for PBS and National Public Radio and Public Broadcasting System.
Almost too commie.
Yeah, maybe this is what, maybe because they're telling the truth. It's a little too close to home for Don. Congress is gone for recess, but the weeks after they return will be intense. We expect the president's budget outlining where he wants Congress to cut or eliminate programs to be a key issue. This reportedly could include the following. Going to get to a couple of these. Trump wants a nearly 50% cut to the State Department's funding. A cut this big means eliminating funding for international organizations, such as the United Nations, NATO, among others. Also, I know Ambassador Tom Barrett, former Milwaukee mayor, was on Earl Ingram's show. Luxembourg, Ambassador to Luxembourg, one of the embassies that Trump is looking at closing is Luxembourg. Which, according to Mayor Barrett, and I would agree, or Ambassador Barrett, only person that's going to make happy is China, who is waiting to move in. We've seen this happen in Central America and other places. When the U.S. pulls out, guess who pulls in? China. Also, Republicans and Trump looking at eliminating of Head Start, a federal program that operates in all 50 states and provides child care and preschool education to low-income families. Also on the cutting block, steep cuts to climate change at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, better known as NOAA, including dissolving the agency's research arm. Not good news for Wisconsin farmers, by the way. And finally, a plan to rescind $1.1 billion, with a B, from the two-year budget allocation for the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, which funds local media stations, who in turn provide funding to NPR, PBS programming, including PBS NewsHour and Wisconsin Public Broadcasting. Although I've heard more recently, they've kind of seen this coming and focusing more on local funding, local raising here in Wisconsin. Great show today. Many thanks to Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich for being here, State Senator Sarah Kieski, and Mr. Zombers, of course, to all of you for listening and calling and tuning in. Tomorrow, Doug Moe. You're not going to want to miss it. See you then. Todd Allball, say whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in. Do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz is in the guest co-host chair with me. We go deep on Trump's constitutional crisis and is Abrego Garcia alive? We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. At least six people are injured, police say, and a suspect in custody after an active shooter incident at Florida State University in Tallahassee. When shots rang out, FSU issued an emergency alert telling people to shelter in place. ABC's Victor Oquendo says the FBI also on scene, and it could take time to clear the area.
That is a massive, it is a sprawling campus. If this did happen at the student union in the middle of the day on a Thursday, I can't imagine how many students, many teachers, how many people would have been around that student union right now. Last check, Florida State University is still telling their students to continue to shelter in place.
Students who were able to evacuate reacting to the shooting.
It's definitely shocking to me right now. Generally, Florida State University is a very safe campus. I know they have a good amount of police presence.
President Trump at the White House says he's been briefed and called the shooting, quote, horrible. This is ABC News.